Thanks, Larry. You asked me to cover three topics. Number one, how is media changing? Well, it's already changed. Every brand is a media company. Every business, every nonprofit, every person. Let's start with, what is a media company? A media company is defined by four elements: content, distribution, audience, and monetization. A publisher uses content to build an audience and then monetizes that audience. Traditional media properties, the New York Times, CNN, Larry Bernstein's What Happens Next, monetize their audiences through advertising, subscriptions, merchandise, etc. You monetize your audience via personal pleasure. That's the capital you derive. But we all know you're different, Larry. I realized how media changed in the early 2000s when I moved from 60 Minutes, where I made content that CBS distributed to audiences it monetized, to Citigroup, where I built Citi Media. We took primary global financial information that Citi gathered daily, turned it into content, and distributed that content via their web-based trading platforms to audiences they monetized. At the highest level, nothing had changed. Content, distribution, audience, monetization. At the same time, everything had changed. Citigroup was a media company. Now, a brand that acts like a media company has a huge advantage. It already knows how to monetize an audience. These audiences include customers, policymakers, influencers, employees, and more. By using meaningful, useful content that benefits their audiences, makes them smarter, the brand can deepen relationships, stay relevant, become the first call, and activate their already proven ways to drive revenue. And because technology has made content creation and digital distribution easier, largely through Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, even TikTok, it's no longer just big companies like Citi who want to act like a media company. It's every company, every brand. That's why I launched Good Guys Media. I knew there was a tremendous business in helping brands act like media companies. Number two, what's the future of podcasts? My answer? Growing exponentially while simultaneously becoming more niche and specialized. I listen to podcasts a lot for the same reasons everyone else does. They're perfect while I'm driving, walking the dog, doing dishes. Virtually every other form of media, a YouTube video, book, TV show, email, requires you to transfer your attention from one focus area of your life to another. You have to stop driving to read an email. Stop walking down Fifth Avenue to watch a YouTube video. Podcasts are the reciprocal, and the difference is everything. With podcasts, you can still do your mindless activity, drive, walk, and transfer that focus to the podcast content. They could be simply entertaining, but they also can offer incredible knowledge. And as we compete in the intelligence economy, I can trade mindless time to instead become smarter in whatever topic I want. And this benefit is supported by the digital distribution advances. When we help businesses act like media companies, podcasts are our most popular product. Businesses know that when the audience listens to their podcast, that audience is focused on their content. Podcasts also are like a 4-for-1. For one 30-minute audio recording, they get the podcast, an SEO-rich transcript for web posting, a month of social media content, and even video if they do it by Zoom. It's incredibly efficient. Number three, the future of curated news. Not only every company, but every individual can be viewed as a media company. I maintain and monetize my own Chris Rebeck-branded media properties: Chris Rebeck's newsletter, Chris Rebeck's conversations, and soon to launch, Chris Rebeck's News Club. For the newsletter, my thesis is straightforward. There's too much content. We all need a good editor. I can be one. My goal is to help subscribers save time and stay smarter. 6 days a week, I offer the ideas, trends, and events you need to know. I read mostly everything, so you don't have to. I try to factor in what you surely already know, what you might have missed, and what bears repeating, but with an emphasis on what's essential. I also add videos, tweets, graphs, and more. What makes my newsletter useful, though, isn't what I read, and I read a lot, but rather how I edit. It omits what you don't need to know. And that's the future of curated news. I'm not selling news, I'm selling judgment. This approach is the exact opposite of most media properties whose business model depends on endless content. More web pages, after all, equals more ads. I have to earn trust with my subscribers. My readers want to be aware of news and events outside their specific interest areas, the ones they likely miss because there's too much noise out there. My subscribers want the context to understand quickly how things connect. For example, how does an Amazon union vote in Alabama connect with Washington, D.C. congressional hearings with tech leaders? They want the wide range of sources they surely don't have time to read. My relationship is directly with the readers. I earn their trust through good editing and strong connecting, not by promoting a particular news brand. So to close, Larry, I wanted to make this offer for any of your listeners who want to check out what I'm talking about for free, who want to save time and stay smarter. I created a free 30-day trial for What Happens Next listeners. Any of your listeners can go to chrisreback.substack.com/WHN and try it out for free for 30 days. Larry, I'm happy to take your questions.